I first of all like to thank Andrew for filling in for me last week on patience. And I know it was, must have been a great study because you all came back. Tonight we are going to look at one of the characteristics called peacefulness. Who can define what peacefulness is? Henry, and then Andrew.
Harmonious relationships.
Okay.
Friendliness.
Friendliness.
Freedom from molestation. Order. Reconcile. Harmony. And contentment.
Very good. You hit a lot of the points there. Andrew, you want to add to that?
Oh, good. You know, the state of calm, quiet, freedom from disturbance.
Uh-huh.
Wellness and well-being extending beyond absence of conflict. State of completeness, restoration, and our harmonious relationship with God and others. But I also add that it's not just it's both an internal and external thing. If you have an internal peace, it can start showing externally, but you got to start from within.
Starts at the end. Very good.
We're on the way.
Very good. Anybody else would like to add today?
Good to see you.
Okay, Kirsten.
So I have two different ways. There's peace with God, meaning that he's restoring your relationship with God through faith in Jesus. And then there's peace of God, which is your inner calmness that comes with that relationship and the empowerment of following Jesus.
Very good. Carol?
Yeah. Continuing on that harmony, adding to it, it's harmony or peace between man and man,
mm-hmm.
and also between life and man.
Between life and man. That's a very good observation. Anybody else have something?
I have one, but it's kind of a combination of what everybody has to say.
The chair that we're listening.
A state of inner and outer tranquility characterized by an absence of conflict and fear and anxiety and the presence of calm, harmony, and contentment.
Very good. That's excellent. When you look at what peacefulness is, it's a safe state of being calm, free from stress, worry, or disturbance. And Christians should strive to seek peace with God and live peacefully with others. And peacefulness emphasizes the importance of seeking peace both within one's own heart and in relationships with others while living with God's will in accordance to God's will in the teachings of Jesus. It's important for Christians, you and I, to make sure we're in sync with God's will. And one way of doing that is study, reading, meditating on his words, and putting those things into action. Several mentions in the Cambridge Dictionary, it states that peacefulness is a state of being quiet and calm, a state of feeling calm and not being worried. So that's what we as Christians derive what peacefulness is.
Annabelle. State of inner contentment that we know where we should be with God.
Uh-huh.
That nothing can shake us no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in the Bible it says we should have a peace that passes all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Not peace it would be.
One of the things that we as Christians should focus on is being peace, being at peace with God. We notice that the history of the children of Israel, they were in conflict. They sinned. And it separated them from God. And that should be a lesson for us when we sin. We are no longer in a right relationship with God. So when we have peace with God, this is seen as a foundational element stemming from a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Obedience to God's commandments and living a righteous life are considered essential for experiencing this peace. So we have to do something on our part. Follow the rules, God's rules. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, David, well, if we look at the history of his life, it seemed like he was always surrounded by strife and things going wrong. But I think of all people, he had the greatest contentment because when he was told he did something wrong, all he did was confess, and it was over. And he kept living his life, except when he was ready to die because he was losing a baby. He kept living his life, and he was doing what looked like the right thing, except when he made a mistake. And he just let it go.
Well, he repented. He turned his life around. And he followed God's way. And that's what we should do in our lives. Peace has in God's character. Jesus is often referred to our peace, or the Prince of Peace, emphasizing that peace originates from God and it is a reflection of his character, God's character. It's important for Christians to observe what peace is and to put it into practice. Have a relationship with God the Father, and that is a peaceful one. And by experiencing peacefulness, your life is going to be enriched immensely. Going on with the definitions, peace with others, what do you think that is?
Don't get involved in a strife that doesn't belong to you.
Well, that's true.
Well, just peace with others, just being accepting of one another, and like Bill said, just not having conflict with them. Seeking maybe forgiveness, so that like a reconciliation. Maybe you're coming back, you haven't seen him in a while, there was some sort of a rift, and so you come back, you reconcile with them, and hopefully that brings them peace. It's helping your fellow man, your.
Exactly. What about peace with your brothers and sisters? That's important, that we resolve conflicts within our church family. Carol?
I was just going to say that there's no peace without forgiveness. So
exactly.
When you have peace with others, you have learned to forgive the way Christ forgave us, and that is they don't have to get down on their hands and knees and grovel and kiss your feet in order to have you accept them as peacefully, to live with them peacefully.
Exactly. And when you think about peace, you have to take away everything. You take away the grudges. You take away, I forgive you, but yet I'm going to remember. No, that's gone. Because when Jesus forgave us, he did it totally. And that's the way you and I should be directing our forgiveness towards others. And the scriptures encourage Christians to strive for peace and live peaceably with all people, those who are saved and those who are lost. And this includes making an effort to resolve conflicts, as Kirsten had indicated and built, and promote reconciliation. Okay, so let's continue. Peace as the fruit of the Spirit. What do you think that means?
Say again, Lenny. Say again.
Peace.
What does peace as part of the fruit of the Spirit?
Oh.
How does that come into play? Carol?
Well, I think it sort of goes with, I'm going to skip ahead and give you one of my Bible verses, 1 Corinthians 13:20. Now the God of peace that bought us again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We have to have the fruit of the Spirit is listening to the shepherd, because the sheep
mm-hmm.
listen to the shepherd. And then also the peace that we know that it's an everlasting covenant.
Very good. When we think of the fruit of the Spirit, it encompasses many of the characteristics or Christian characteristics or virtues into one. And that's why it's important when we dissect these characteristics, we see how they're all integrated and they all work together. Bill, you had a comment.
Yeah, we're told to be as wise as a serpent and as innocent as a lamb. Jesus had the ultimate understanding of the weaknesses humanity has, the many weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, learning that wisdom, that we all have so many weaknesses and people make all kinds of mistakes that are common to mankind. And just understanding, you're not so quick to condemn somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's from the Spirit.
Sure. We see that peace is listed among the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, suggesting that it is a result of living in communion with God and following His Spirit to work within one's life. Don't forget what happened when we were baptized.
Given His Spirit.
He gave us the Spirit. So you have God's Spirit within yourself. And relying on that. Ask for help in times of trials, in times of difficulties. Seek God's help. Pray about it. Communicate to God through prayer. And He'll be there to help you. It's important that we utilize these characteristics, all of them, and as we integrate them into our life, we grow as a Christian. We grow to the point where we realize that we're totally dependent on God for everything. And that's the attitude you and I should have. We're going through the class of zeal. And in this next chapter, we're going to cover what Christians do themselves. They rely on their own self rather than rely on God. We have to rely on God totally. How about peaceful living? What does that mean?
Maybe it's that freedom from fear. So like thinking of the opposite of stuff about fear and worry, you know, if we live by fear and we have anxiety all the time, that's just not how we want to live. So looking to scripture, you find peaceful living. I actually found a couple of, there's Matthew 6:34, that talks about casting your cares upon God. You know, Jesus warned us about fear and worry, that we shouldn't have it. Let him worry.
Exactly.
For tomorrow, you know, is another day, and just worry about today. And I think peaceful living is living without that fear and anxiety and just what might happen in the future that you have no control over.
Exactly. We should rely on God totally. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave this building. Put your trust, put your faith, put all your worries, and ask God to help you. Live a quiet and peaceful life, avoiding chaos and disorder, and focus on living in accordance to God's will. As Christians, that's what we should focus on. Living the way God wants you and I to live. So with that, let's look at some verses that we could see that we could share with each other about peacefulness and explain those verses. Who would like to start? I know, Carol, you gave us one. Go ahead, Dean.
In James chapter 3, just a continuation of a verse, but down in verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're striving to live a peaceful life, I struggle. Partly because sometimes I just get a kick out of causing conflict. And I have to say that out loud so y'all can scold me whenever you see me doing it. But I have this obnoxious streak. I make the mistake of looking at social media from time to time. Now, the easiest way to live a peaceful life is not listen to a bunch of other people's ridiculous opinions on social media. But yet, because we have social media, we're involved in everybody's lives. James is telling us that the wisdom that comes from above is pure. So that means that we're seeking this wisdom from a pure heart. It's peaceable. We're not looking for conflict in life. It doesn't mean we're a mousy, meek individual. It just means that we're not out there stirring stuff up. And then it just goes on to say that it's gentle. Well, I can't be gentle if I'm not peaceful. I can't be understanding. I can't be peaceful if I'm not willing to yield.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be, and that all is summed up in humility, being humble. But generally, if we're causing conflict, we're falling short on all these other things also.
Exactly. Very good point. Anybody else? Okay.
Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. That's a pretty big promise.
Very good. Anybody else? Andrew?
I have Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we pray to God, petition to Him, you know, all our worries, our anxiousness, we'll find peace with Him. It'll talking with Him, you know, laying it before Him, He will help us. He will give us the answer. He will give us the help that we need in our lives. So at times when we're feeling that anxiety, best thing to do is just turn to God.
Right. Absolutely. What did Jesus say about peace? Let's think back to the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, I have John 14.
Okay.
John 14, 27, and then Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So I'm assuming Jesus is the one that's giving us peace, not worldly. But it's divine, and it guards your heart and your soul when he's giving you peace.
Exactly. I think you sneak in my house and take my notes.
I got it too.
Yeah,
same thing.
But anyway, that's an excellent point that Jesus makes. Peace I leave you.
Yeah.
My peace I give you. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, okay.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Thank you, Penny. And that's the first sermon that he made. And he said, the peacemakers are going to be called the sons of God. So we as Christians should realize peacefulness plays an integral part of our Christian walk of life. Not only with our brothers and sisters, but also people in the world. Okay, right?
So many people in the world live anxious lives and stressed lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do the opposite. And they notice that.
We have to be lights in the world. Very good. And we have to show by our actions, not put a facade around you, but actually live it. Actually live the life that Christ wants you to live. And we find that in the scriptures. Anybody else from Zoom have a verse to share? I put another one down in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Again, you communicate to God with prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's an excellent verse to dwell upon when you're struggling with peacefulness. Give it to God, and He will take care of things. Okay, the next question I have is, provide an example from the Old Testament, someone who exhibited peacefulness in their lives that we can look up. Carol?
I had David when he was sent to his take food to his brothers. When Goliath was holding the army at bay, and he was insulted that this Philistine would talk about his God that way, and he was peaceful in his decision that he would face Goliath. And when he, when everybody else sort of got in the way, and King Saul got in the way, well, here's this great big armor. You know, but David had the peace to say, God was with me when I killed the bear, and I think it was the wolf. And that's all I need is God with me. So he had a peacefulness in an extremely tough situation, but his trust in God gave him that peacefulness.
That's in fact, that's a lesson that we should apply to our lives. Rely on God. Very good point. Anybody else have an example from the Old Testament?
Well, I have one. I don't know the story really well, but it's 2 Samuel 20:19, and it's when Joab was pursuing Sheba, the son of Bichri, and a wise woman came up to him saying, "I am of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You are seeking to destroy a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" So it's just this lady came out and said, "I am a peaceful person trying to destroy this."
Exactly. Bay and then Andrew.
There's Abigail, and I'm like Di. I don't remember all the details, but David. So Abigail's husband Nabal was shearing his sheep. David was there, and with his men, his soldiers. And David sent 10 men up to Nabal because he needed food for his men. And he said, "This is what you say to Nabal: have a long life, peace be to you, peace be to your house, peace be to all that you have." And then he said, "I hear you have people shearing, and I need some food. And I've been a wall around so other people haven't bothered you while you were shearing your 3,000 sheep." And Nabal said, "No, I don't know who you are, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to help you." And somebody told Abigail, Nabal's wife, and so she decided she would give David the food and his men. So kind of secretly, she put all this food on a donkey and took it out to
David
and his men.
Yep.
And so David was in the process of attacking because he was very angry. He was getting ready. He had his men ready to attack. And so she made peace by doing this. And David married her because after that, Nabal had a heart attack.
Good. Andrew?
I had Joseph.
Joseph, go ahead.
And just being at peace from the betrayal that he had from his brothers, and just not holding resentment towards them and forgiving them, and understanding that it was part of God's plan. I just want to read from Genesis chapter 50, at verse 20. He said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So it was kind of just, that one was, he's just talking about how it's God's plan that, even though there was evil set against him, he didn't see it like that. He saw it as, this is part of God's plan, and this is what God had planned for me. So he just kind of understood that things that happen just happen not because of his will, but because of God's will.
Exactly. Very good. Bill?
Abraham, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he negotiated with God to save the lives of anyone that might be righteous in those cities. And God was willing to listen to him if there was anybody besides Lot, but there wasn't.
But he destroyed the city because of the sin. And that's what God hates, is sin. Very good observation. I had a lot. Noah?
In recent events, someone in my family directed me towards another part of David's life in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm not going to read it, but it's the death of Bathsheba's son.
Sure.
And the great peace that he had once the child was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there, that is the kind of the first time in my life that I've seen a Bible figure give me peace of comfort, or reading a scripture actually brings that peace of comfort.
It does. In fact, that's important for Christians to look at God's word and derive peace from it. That's an excellent observation. I had Elijah in 1 Kings, I'll just read verse 11. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Now here is Elijah, traumatized by what's happening here. But yet, if you read the rest of the verses down to 17, we see that God, Jehovah, said, don't be afraid. Do my job. Go out and make kings of these nations. So he felt a great peace from God being on the throne. And that's something that's powerful for us to realize that with God, we can do just about anything. He may not answer all our prayers. He may not give you what you want, but he's there for us, and he knows what's good for you and I. And he will give us the necessities of life so that we could go out and do our jobs by bringing in others to him. How about somebody in the New Testament? Ed.
Stephen.
Stephen, okay.
When he was on trial, he recited the story of the journey of God's people to that present day. And he looked up into heaven and with the countenance of an angel and saw. He was at peace. He was at total peace with where he was at.
Sure. And he knew Jesus was there and was watching over him. Very good. Okay.
Barnabas, when Paul came from Damascus and went to Jerusalem, and the church in Jerusalem didn't want anything to do with him, Barnabas came and spoke and told them what Paul had been doing among the Gentiles and made peace. After
yeah.
that, Paul was accepted and that was fine.
I got the first Philippians chapter 1, Paul. And when Paul, in his address to the Philippians, is, I mean, he's in prison, he's in chains, and the world is in turmoil. Yet he's at peace knowing that he's saved through Christ Jesus and that the Philippian brethren are walking the correct path. So he has peace, even though life's not really going maybe the way that he thought it should.
Sure. Very good. Anybody else? Carol?
Again, Paul, he had contentment, whether he had something or he didn't have something.
Mm-hmm.
And then also he was at peace. He was a little worried about whether to go or whether to stay, but he was at peace with either decision.
Mm-hmm.
So he's weighing the options, but he was at peace with both decisions.
Sure. Very good. Anybody else? Kirsten.
Luke 2:13-14, when Jesus was born, and suddenly there appeared with the angel of multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.
Very good. Diane?
Mine is out of Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. I think I'm just going to read 14 because it concerns the Jews and the Gentiles. And it says, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
Very good. I have one that I'd like to share. It's in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, and that is Lydia. She was worshiping Jehovah outside the city gates with a group of individuals, and Paul happened to come by. And what happened? She heard the word. She had a change of heart and was baptized. So she received peace from God by accepting Jesus as the Son of God. That is so powerful. When we were baptized, you and I, we received the peace within, and that is through Christ Jesus, which is exceptional for our lives. And that's something that you and I should be very thankful, very grateful, and realize that it's God's mercy and grace. He gave you and I the opportunity to be with him. That is so powerful when you look at some of these early Christians that the writers wrote about via the Holy Spirit about their conversions. And, you know, you look at today when people are baptized, they're just like these early Christians who were baptized. They received the peace of God within. And that's something that's so important. Does anybody else have another character in the New Testament? Hey.
I had never thought of this. It's something I read today. Okay. So it's, but it was the Samaritan woman. Okay, so she was considered to be the worst of the worst, a dog. Right? So in her community, she was looked down on. Jesus talked to her about the water of life. And then she went into her community and told them, and they turned their lives around. So she was a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And she made peace within herself, but also with her community. I had never thought of that.
That's very good. And as an example for us today, we have a job to do, and that is to tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. That's what our job is as Christians, to do that to the best of your ability. Some people are eloquent speakers. I certainly am not. However, you could tell somebody the message on how to be saved and share your baptism with them, and that may influence others. Very good. Anybody else have any other characters they would like to share? Okay, let's move on. How do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through peacefulness? What do you think? Dean?
Well, hopefully we're grasping this concept in our conflict resolution class. But if I strive for peacefulness and you strive for peacefulness, the odds of conflict are greatly reduced.
Mm-hmm.
Because to strive for peacefulness, as we read over in James, is to submit and to think higher of other people, maybe not to jump to conclusions. And so we've had some drama from time to time, and usually that drama is fueled by gossip and people taking sides, even though they don't have all the facts, or even just allowing the conversation to go on, where if I'm pursuing peacefulness and you come to me with something against Andrew, I'm going to hopefully help you pursue peacefulness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in how we handle the daily situations that face us and help others to maybe see that path also that shows us this Christian-like attitude. Jesus faced every conflict striving for a peaceful resolution, but occasionally having to fashion a whip and turn over tables and deal with some things. But for the most part, he just dealt with things straight on with truth and faith in God. And I think that we can show the world a lot by just not worrying about all the nonsense that's going on and finding that right attitude.
Exactly. Very good. Anybody else, Carol?
I think the biggest place that we can all apply this peacefulness is, unfortunately, when we get in the car and we are the god of our car, we think everybody else should be following our rules. The peacefulness, you're leaving enough space so you don't have to stop. And first one person pulls in, and then another person pulls in, then another person pulls in. But as you continue to know the peace of God, you can roll with that and not be upset about it. That doesn't mean that you don't say something once in a while, but not bad, but just, you know. But that's where I find peacefulness is really needed.
I calm her down.
It's something we have to work on.
Yeah.
Very good. Avi?
Well, just to kind of piggyback on that, I think that a lot of times we think of peacefulness, and again, we think of conflict avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus didn't practice conflict avoidance.
No, he didn't.
Jesus walked this world with God's authority. And if we're strong in God's faith, and we're strong in understanding of God's word, to where we can defend that word easily, if you will, peaceful fights.
Mm-hmm.
Because the naysayers and the wannabes and all those people that think they can quote a scripture, I get these phone calls all the time here at the building, people wanting money, and I tell them, you know, right now, money's tight, we're trying to take care of the needs here. And they start quoting some random made-up verse about how I'm supposed to help every needy person in the world. Being strong in your scriptures and strong in your faith and strong in your beliefs allow you to handle those situations peacefully.
And, yeah, very good. And that's the way you and I, as Christians, or all of us, should deal with it. Rely on God's word. Get your inner strength. Cultivate inner qualities of peace within yourself first. And then practice peaceful actions. Put it into play in your life. A lot of times that's hard. A lot of times that's difficult. I struggle. We all struggle with different things in our lives. But we have God to rely on. Just remember that. When we're cultivating inequalities of peace, trusting God's goodness. How do we do that? Look at some of these characters that we talked about in the Old Testament. They trusted in God. Joseph, David, Elijah, Abigail, all those individuals trusted in God's goodness. And we should be focusing on God How do we do that? What do you think?
The very first thing that should come to your mind is prayer.
Exactly.
And I'm not just one time, but anytime. Anytime you did it by popping your head. I do that all the time. All the time.
Exactly. Bill, you had a comment?
Yeah. We are so blessed that we're literate. And we have God's word and we can read and understand. We need to know God's word. When we know all that it says, there is so much peace and so much understanding in there.
Mm-hmm.
And people that don't have that blessing, that have to depend on whatever the preacher says, whether it's right or wrong, they can't have that same degree of peace unless they're pretty simple-minded.
They just go wherever.
Well, normally, if someone's up here preaching, your job is to look at scriptures and make sure they are saying what is right. And search the scriptures yourself. That's because someone's up here quoting scriptures. So search the scriptures yourself. And get an understanding and acknowledge and trust in God's word. That's how we're supposed to do it. And it's important we follow that. Spend time with God. How do you spend time with God?
All the time.
I'm sorry, again?
All the time.
Reading his scripture.
Reading his scriptures? What else?
Talk to him when you're walking, you're by yourself.
How about observing what he did in the world? Look at the beauty he had created for us.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Realize that God is your Father and he created this. Confess your sins and seek forgiveness. We all sin. Paul had told the Romans in chapter 3, verse 23, for all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We also seek God's forgiveness through prayer and ask him for forgiveness and repent from those things. Develop spiritual disciplines. What do you think I mean by that?
Well, I think it, our Christian characteristics, spiritual discipline, your love, your joy, your gratitude, your forgiveness, your self-discipline, you know, all of those feed together. And you have peace. I think, you know, if you don't have one of them, it's hard to have the others. You know, they all have to work together. And so, I think developing that, just remembering who you are and who you should be. And I had 2 Peter 1:2, which I think is just grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so I think as you grow in your knowledge with God, even your spiritual discipline, and Jesus is going to give you your grace and your peace, because that's just, that's who he was, and so.
That's a very good point. All these characteristics are integrated. They work together. And we have to look at them and develop them in our lives. That's how we develop spiritual disciplines. We study. We have a routine. We act upon those things, not just reading and put it in our minds, but actually put it into action. Carol?
Buffet your body daily.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens, something comes into your mind, and you're able to say, no, that's not what God wants me to do. Or maybe you didn't save yourself that far, and then you have to ask for forgiveness. And maybe
something happened, and it's not until in the evening when you're doing your prayers or later in the day that you understand.
Did you leave any voicemails?
This is the wrong way. So
exactly. Very good. And display patience and perseverance. Patience. It's difficult. It's very difficult for many people. But practice it. Persevere. Put it into action. And then let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's a blessing that all Christians have, is the Holy Spirit. So that's how we cultivate inner qualities of peace. And now let's also put those into putting out peaceful elements of our lives into action, forgiving others. Seek reconciliation. Sometimes when someone hurts us, we walk away. That's not solving the problem. The problem is to seek reconciliation. Make sure that you resolve the issue. Bear one another's burdens. We read about that. How do you do that? It's difficult, but yet we're commanded to do that. To make sure that you're supportive. You're helping that brother or sister in Christ. Don't return evil for evil. The world has a tendency to, if someone hits you, you hit them back hard. I know, because I was in the world. You don't do that anymore. You live at peace with everyone. A lot of times that's difficult. But you strive to live a Christian life and a peaceful life with all people. And you focus on edifying others. You don't put people down. You don't make jokes about individuals. You're positive. You encourage them. You lift them up. And finally, serve others to the best of your ability. Sometimes that's difficult, but yet we have to as Christians. So finally, we're looking at the last question. How do you grow in peacefulness and seek opportunities to demonstrate peacefulness to others? What's your thoughts on that? Okay, Bill.
I can't remember where it's at for the life of me, but there's a scripture that says, as much as lies within you, be at peace with all men.
Mm-hmm.
As much as lies within you. We have different abilities to be peaceful. And it depends on the situation, whether we're able to demonstrate it or not. That's a very hard question.
It is a very hard question. It's something we have to dwell upon in our lives.
Sometimes you just have to confess to the other person. I'm about to explode, but I don't want to do that. I would rather be at peace with you.
Mm-hmm. But it starts where?
I mean, your mindset, it's you showing all those, I mean, that this that you had in that prior one is all things on how we grow in peacefulness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes with you understanding and having knowledge, but being able to find scripture about it maybe, or, you know, to pray and just, yeah. You know,
it started with our relationship with God. That's what you're trying to say.
Thank you. Yeah.
Through prayer, studying the Bible, and actively practicing forgiveness and gratitude, being thankful, forgiving others as Jesus forgave you and I. Very good point. And we can find peace by trusting in God's sovereignty, managing stress, put it on God, asking for help, and seeking reconciliation in relationships. That is so difficult for us today because the world keeps on hitting us, but we as Christians should focus on reconciling our differences with other people. That's so important. So Christians can demonstrate peacefulness to others by what?
Honestly, how we handle situations that we're faced with.
Mm-hmm.
I, all through this class, I've been thinking about Cheryl Lear. Somebody would say something mean. And if you don't know, that's our old preacher, old preacher's wife. But someone would say something unkind about her. And instead of getting upset, several times she'd visit with me and she'd tell me that the best I can do is assume that they had the best of intentions in what they said.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting angry and going at people, she demonstrated peacefulness by looking for a proper motive through what they did.
Exactly.
You know, and we can demonstrate peacefulness by the way that we handle those situations when somebody says something or does something that we don't like. Instead of making an assumption that they did it to us on purpose, let's just chill out a little bit and think, well, maybe there's a different reason.
Exactly.
So it's all, I think this is all on how we respond to the things that we're faced with each day.
Exactly. Embracing love and compassion to those individuals. And that's what Cheryl Malia expressed to those people. Love for their souls and compassion. We also should be practicing forgiveness and reconciliation in our dealings with others. And as Dean had indicated before, we should be living a life humbly with humility. Carol?
Yeah. If you think about peace in our world, in our day-to-day, you have peace in a building when somebody knows what do you do in a particular circumstance. If there's a fire or shooting or whatever, you have peace because you know what you're supposed to do, even though everything is coming down, an earthquake or whatever, you're doing the best that you can because you were prepared. So being a prepared person is what brings you peace.
Exactly. And we learn that through our studying of the scriptures, what God expects from you and I. Very good. Does anybody else have any comments?